This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rohn.
Something is happening in the world, in the United States of America, and nations. God's presence and power, it's beginning to reign.
The turtle dove is singing its sweet song of morning. The leaves on the trees turn their silver cups to the sky. The silent clouds, they're beginning to gather. The barren land is thirsty, and so am I. It's beginning to rain. Hear the voice of the Father. He's saying, whosoever will come and drink of this water, He has promised to pour out His Spirit on our sons and daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning.
This ministry today, as we go to Global Awakening, Voice of the Apostles, and hear a message from Dr. Randy Clark on what God is doing. Dr. Randy Clark.
Okay. One of the things that we notice, you just keep ministering here. In the book of Acts, there's this response to persecution and threats, don't preach anymore or teach anymore in the name of Jesus. And they went back and they told the Peter and John did, and they told the church about it. They had a prayer meeting, and picking up in the middle of that prayer, in chapter 4 of Acts, verse 29 through 31, it says, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness." Now, I want to emphasize, what's he asking? Enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness, which will get us put in prison, which could get us killed. We've been threatened not to do that. We're not asking you to protect us. We're not asking you to send us an easier place to go to. We're asking that you give us the ability to proclaim your word with great boldness. And then they go on, and they in the prayer in verse 30, it says, "Stretch out your hand." The hand of God is the hand of the Lord was with them. Is a Jewish euphemism for the fire, the power of God to be upon the people. He said, "Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." That's the prayer, or at least part of it, the last part of it. Verse 31, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. What happened? They're filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I've told this story before, but I've been in a lot of meetings where I saw shaking. A lot. Thousands of meetings where I've seen shaking, people shaking. But I'd never seen the building shake. And so one time on the way down to Australia, I was reading, or actually writing about Acts. And as I'm reading that passage, I actually prayed. I said, Lord, I've seen you shake people all over the world, but I've never been in a meeting where the building shook. I want that on my bucket list, Lord. Before I go home, before I meet you, would you let me be in a meeting where you shake the building? So we went to this meeting, and my friend David was pastor David Crabtree in near a suburb of Melbourne. And as we're in the meeting, Tom and I and Justin Allen and are talking about visitations of the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit and our experiences that when that happened to us. We're just, each one is sharing one right after the other about our experience. As that's happening, I'm sitting on the platform. The platform begins to shake. And I look around and I want to make sure there's no natural explanation for it, but you can feel it shaking. And I look, and the worship team's still up there, and they're looking around. I can tell they're sensing it. And I look out, and I thought it went, you know, like 20 rows back. I found out later, it went all the way to the back. I found out there was no train going by. There's no jet that flew over. There was no earthquake that took place. There was, you know, no underground. I mean, there was no, and there's no feedback loop causing it. And so we ruled out anything we could think of that could have been an explanation. Anyway, I was so excited. On the way home, I was praying. I said, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you that I got to see that. Thank you, Lord. That was so exciting. But why did it take so long? And I felt like the Holy Spirit said, what are you talking about? You only asked about 4 days ago. It's kind of like you had not because you asked not. But I do want to say I really identify with this. You know, there's been in meetings, I think Ben Fitzgerald mentioned last night, he mentioned that where he's going, fire alarms go off. In Azusa Street, the fire department was called out several times because people reported seeing fire on the mission. In St. Louis, at the first charismatic church, it grew very rapidly, 10,000 people, and it was the only charismatic church in St. Louis at that time. And the fire department was called out several times because the neighbors reported seeing fire on the building. Which is really interesting, but it happens during visitation times. When Blaine Cook came to my little Baptist church in Southern Illinois, the fire department was called out because they saw fire. The neighbors saw fire in the bell tower, but it wasn't a natural fire. It was a supernatural fire. I think, Rex, were you and Lois with me when we went to the biggest Baptist church in Australia, the people at midnight. He said, if you go past 10 o'clock, don't know what you're going to do. But we got out at midnight, and the aisles were filled with the slain. He had to climb out over people, over the chair. Well, one of the things that we noticed, you just keep ministering here. In the book of Acts, there's this response to persecution and threats. Don't preach anymore or teach anymore in the name of Jesus. And they went back and they told the Peter and John did, and they told the church about it. They had a prayer meeting, and picking up in the middle of that prayer, in chapter 4 of Acts, verse 29 through 31, it says, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Now, I want to emphasize, what's he asking? Enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness, which will get us put in prison. which could get us killed. We've been threatened not to do that. We're not asking you to protect us. We're not asking you to send us an easier place to go to. We're asking that you give us the ability to proclaim your word with great boldness. And then they go on and they in the prayer in verse 30, it says, stretch out your hand. The hand of God is the hand of the Lord was with them. Is a Jewish euphemism for the fire, the power of God to be upon the people. He said, stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. That's the prayer, or at least part of it, the last part of it. Verse 31, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. What happened? They're filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I've told this story before, but I've been in a lot of meetings where I saw shaking. A lot. Thousands of meetings where I've seen shaking. People shaking. But I'd never seen the building shake. And so one time on the way down to Australia, I was writing about Acts. And as I'm reading that passage, I actually prayed. I said, Lord, I've seen you shake people all over the world, but I've never been in a meeting where the building shook. I want that on my bucket list, Lord. Before I go home, before I meet you, would you let me be in a meeting where you shake the building? So we went to this meeting, and my friend David was pastor David Crabtree in near a suburb of Melbourne. And as we're in the meeting, Tom and I and Justin Allen and are talking about visitations of the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit and our experiences that when that happened to us. We're just, each one is sharing one right after the other about our experience. As that's happening, I'm sitting on the platform. The platform begins to shake. And I look around and I want to make sure there's no natural explanation for it, but you can feel it shaking. And I look, and the worship team's still up there, and they're looking around. I can tell they're sensing it. And I look out, and I thought it went, you know, like 20 rows back. I found out later it went all the way to the back. I found out there was no train going by. There's no jet that flew over. There was no earthquake that took place. There was, you know, no underground. I mean, there was there's no feedback loop causing it. And so we ruled out anything we could think of that could have been an explanation. Anyway, I was so excited. On the way home, I was praying. I said, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you that I got to see that. Thank you, Lord. That was so exciting. But why did it take so long? And I felt like the Holy Spirit said, what are you talking about? You only asked about 4 days ago. It's kind of like you had not because you asked not. But I do want to say I really identify with this. You know, there's been in meetings, I think Ben Fitzgerald mentioned yesterday or last night, he mentioned that where he's going, fire alarms go off. In Azusa Street, the fire department was called out several times because people reported seeing fire on the mission. In St. Louis, at the first charismatic church, it grew very rapidly, 10,000 people, and it was the only charismatic church in St. Louis at that time. And the fire department was called out several times because the neighbors reported seeing fire on the building, which is really interesting, but it happens during visitation times. When Blaine Cook came to my little Baptist church in Southern Illinois, the fire department was called out because they saw fire. The neighbors saw fire in the bell tower, but it wasn't a natural fire. It was a supernatural fire. I believe this will create faith and the power to be stronger. In Toronto, the first night, I prayed for this woman named Carol Berg. She is dying. She has terminal illness. She has two terminal illnesses, and she is depressed because she's been sick for a long time. Sick for a long time and is depressed. And I pray for her. She falls down. She's not laying down, but her butt's on the ground. Her back's up against a chair. I walk over and I bless her, and I walked away. And the Holy Spirit, I got about five steps. The Holy Spirit said, stop, go back. I want you to tell her something. So I went back, and I felt like the Lord said, the Lord says, you've been sad too long. And then I went like this, take another drink. And she got drunk. I mean, she was drunk as could be. And then every time I saw her for several years, she's still drunk. And then I judged her. And I misjudged her. I thought she had now found her identity in being the church drunk. And I felt negative. I thought she started out in the spirit, but she's ended up in the flesh. I was wrong. Be careful in your judgments until you get to talk to the people. When I started to write the book, There's More, I asked people to send me their stories, and I got this letter, and it's from her. I recognize it because she told that part of the story. And then, as I continued to read, she said, I got healed of all my diseases. The stuff that was killing me, I was healed of it. Then she said, God called me to be an evangelist. And I go to Scandinavia more than anywhere else. And she writes, and every time I get around you, I get drunk. Every time I get around you, I get drunk again. And I thought, oh, she's not drunk all the time, just when she gets around me. But then she wrote, and this is when I had to repent. I've had her come and speak to our school many times. I had to ask God to forgive me, and I've asked her to forgive me. Be careful in your judgments. Then she wrote, I go to Scandinavia a lot. One time I went to this church, and this little two-year-old boy ran, jumped in my arms. And I'm thinking, he's awful excited. And then I realized, because his mother told me, when you came to this church 2 years ago, I was 9 months pregnant. I was supposed to have a baby any week. The baby had stopped moving. I went to the doctor, and they diagnosed the baby had no heartbeat. The baby had died in my womb, and I was going to have to give a stillborn birth. You did not know that. But when you came in and you saw me, way out there, ready to pop any moment, you ran over to me and put your hands on my womb and start blessing my baby, not knowing it was dead. You said, I bless your baby. I bless your baby. I bless your baby. I bless your baby. And I felt him kick. That little boy, when you came in this time, I knelt down. I said, that's the woman who spoke life into you when you were dead in my womb. I'm reminded of, I'll make this one really short. This Baptist guy in Brazil, he was against all the shaking, and God shook him. And everything he was against, God did to him. And today he's one of the best known healing evangelists in Brazil. One of the meetings, he came up again. He's had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of blind and deaf and cancers disappear, just miracle after miracle after miracle. But one time, he came up because he'd always want more. And once a year, he'd always be somewhere where I was at, and he'd want another impartation. And he came up this time, and he's got his eyes closed. He stood right there. He's got his eyes closed. And I can see in his palms of his hands, they're puddled up with oil. So I asked him, his name is Marcelo. I said, Marcelo, do your hands sweat too much? Because that's a natural problem. I don't want to confuse the natural with the supernatural. And he said, no, they don't. I said, open your eyes and look at the palms of your hand. And he did. He saw what God was doing. And then I prophesied. God is going, hey, everybody, this man right here, right now, is getting an anointing for miracles. And then I said, and you're going to go every nation in Latin America, from Mexico all the way down to the bottom of Chile, everywhere. He didn't have a passport. Within 1 year, he had been in almost every nation in Latin America, and he had all these healings. And it happened in one of our meetings. And why not now? Why not again? And why not you? I'm reminded Pastor Bill knows this guy I'm getting ready to tell you about. His name is Kevin Vandermeiden. I don't know if Kevin's here or not, but we were in a meeting. He's not here, okay. But anyway, we were in a meeting. I was preaching in San Jose area, and there was a woman there, came in a scooter, and she had MS, really bad MS, and her legs won't move. And I was praying about people with metal, and I said, if you have metal, stand up. And her husband hit her arm, said, you ought to stand up. She said, I don't have metal. She said, yes, you do. You have a morphine pump, metal morphine pump inserted in your body, and you have metal, therefore, stand up. She said, but I can't stand up. You know, my legs won't work. They're like rubber. But I said, I'm going to try to stand up. She said, I tried. And I couldn't. I tried. I couldn't. I tried a third time. I couldn't. But then after the third time, all of a sudden electricity came on my body, went through my legs, and I tried to stand up, and I stood up. And then all the pain, she had four herniated discs. She had this rare bladder disease that women sometimes have, that if her bladder began to fill, she'd have jabbing pains and wake her up several times in the night. She had many things wrong with her, and the MS had affected her ability, her cognitive ability, and she gets healed of everything. She stacked back there. She came up to the front. She ran across the front. I did not know that, but the night that she got healed, two rows back, right behind her, is Kevin Vandermeiden, who has ALS. And moved in with his mother-in-law. Seven kids, moved in with his mother-in-law. And God healed him the same time he healed her. And a little bit later, he came up to Redding, California, where we were at. And in a meeting there, God filled him with the Holy Spirit, and he's leading Muslims. He's had miracles all over the place and all over the world. He's going now to Latin America. He's going to the Middle East. God is powerfully using him. And then more recently, just recently, this person works with us, and he's a young man, and I know that he walked away from a six-figure job with the potential of having a $1 million job. Walked away from his $80,000, $90,000 car, company car, to enter the ministry. And I met him down in North Carolina, Raleigh. And in the meeting, God came on him. I had this term, it's being pretzeled. Now, being pretzeled is when God twists you in such a way that you look like you're being pretzeled, you know. And then he came here. Now he's working with it. He's actually here. The name is Mark Dos Santos. Where's Mark? Dos Santos. There he is. And his wife, his beautiful wife, is my friend. I've got pictures of him and them going into mud right in front of the church, little bitty places all throughout Latin America and Brazil. He's a real guy, real deal. They're the real deal. And God is not just doing this 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Some of those stories are 30 years old. Some are 20. That's about 1 or 2 years old. He's still doing it. I believe he's going to do it today. I wanted to encourage you. And I know in my own life, I felt like he was going to kill me when Happy Lehman and Ron Allen was praying for me for a prophecy I just received about going to the nations, and Happy blew on me. I hit the floor screaming, sweating, yelling. And I'd been praying since 1971, that was 89. I had been praying, God, what you did to Finney and Moody, do it to me. I want that where the electricity is coming and the love is coming so strong that they cried out, God, if it continues, you're going to kill me. You scared them. They said, stay your hand lest you slay me. Moody said, God, that's what I want. I want you to come with so much power that you actually scare me. It happened. 89. That's enough. One time. Are you ready? Hold your hands out like this. Father, in the name of Jesus, do it again. Do it again. Unzipper heaven. Pour out your Holy Spirit and release signs and wonders. God, as I look over this crowd, I see people that I know are going to go to all parts of the world, dangerous places. I see people that are destined for the Middle East. I see people that's destined for...
The turtle dove is singing its sweet song of morning. The leaves on the trees turn their silver cups to the sky. The silent clouds, they're beginning to gather. The barren land is thirsty, and so am I. It's beginning to rain. Hear the voice of the Father. He's saying, whosoever will come and drink of this water has promised to pour out his spirit on our sons and daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning. At the first drop of rain that you hear, throw open your window. Then call all the children together, swing wide the door. When the rains of His Spirit are falling, fill every vessel. For he who drinks His fill will thirst no more. It's beginning to rain. Hear the voice of the Father. He's saying, whosoever will come and drink of this water.
Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.
All passengers boarding Global Air Force are now boarding KK-1.